scripture in this evening is taken from Hosea, the second chapter. I'll be reading verse number 5. Hosea 2, verse 5. For your mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has behaved shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lover, who gave me my bread and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities that we have to open up God's Word, certainly study it, and meditate on it. For this month, we've been looking at the book of Hosea. And really, Hosea means salvation. And we've looked at the idea of repentance found within the book. We've looked at the idea of choice that's found within the book. And today, this evening, I'd like to look at the idea of thankfulness or the lack thereof. In the first three chapters of Hosea, we really have his relationship really shown to really the world as it's recorded here in the first three chapters of Hosea. As you see in verse 2 in chapter 1 of Hosea, it says, when the Lord began to speak to Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. There's a great parallel throughout the book. And I think it's certainly intentional. I think God wanted to send some particular messages to his prophet. And perhaps this affected him in a very deep and meaningful way that made him more effective as he tried to preach and be a prophet to really God's people who were falling away from God very rapidly. And really, at this point, you can see that they have been away from God perhaps even for some generations. Hosea, a prophet. God says, I want you to marry a prostitute. And he marries this prostitute named Gomer. And we see in chapters 1, 2, and 3 how this relationship goes. We get to see that Gomer really tears Hosea's heart out as she cheats again and again and again. And some of these children that Hosea, I believe, is taking care of, I believe as we read the text, we really see that these are not really his children. These are children that Gomer has run off, had a relationship with somebody, come back into their relationship, and then had the child, and now Hosea is kind of taking care of this. Talk about a family situation with a lot of challenges and hardships. And certainly you can feel for Hosea, as we see in chapters 1, 2, and 3, we really see the relationship falling apart, and we see Hosea on a few occasions really pleading out and asking her to return and just be faithful. This is a great parallel that is set up in the book in terms of God's people, is that the northern kingdom, Israel, God's people have been unfaithful again and again and again. And see, they're supposed to be in a relationship with God. They have a covenant with God. They've really made promises with God, but they're not keeping any of them. They are not being faithful, and they are cheating again and again and again. So as we look at Hosea and his relationship with Gomer, and we see the constant cheating and unfaithfulness, we also see, on the same token, as we look throughout the book, because only the first three chapters is focused on Hosea and his relationship, then the rest of the book is really focused on God trying to call back his people that have been unfaithful, is that really we get to see this set up, the unfaithfulness. But really what I pick up on is what led to some of this unfaithfulness. You know, there are some precursors to unfaithfulness. There are some traits of unfaithfulness. I think that you could actually look at a marriage, and if you started to see certain traits, you would say, you know what, they might have some trouble down the road because of some of these traits that we see. Because if you see these traits, typically other things will come out down the road. And one of the things I think we see come out through the book, throughout Hosea's relationship, throughout God's relationship with his people, is that when we become unthankful, we become unfaithful. When we do not have gratitude, we become unfaithful. I think we see it with Hosea, and we see it with Gomer. Is that Gomer looks at her relationship with Hosea, and she says, I don't really appreciate what my husband's doing. In fact, I think I'm getting way more from my lovers over here. We see it as that builds, as she becomes unthankful for Hosea, as she becomes unappreciative of Hosea, is that she becomes more and more unfaithful. And I believe the same thing happens with God's people in terms of the Old Testament here with Israel, is that as Israel looks at God and they say, God, we don't really appreciate what you're doing for us. God, we're not really thankful for what you've done for us. We're not appreciative of the land which you have blessed us with, the land filling with milk and honey. We're not thankful for the great protection that you have offered us. We're not thankful for these blessings. In fact, we don't even see them. In fact, we think that we're actually being blessed by these false gods. Hosea has a relationship with Gomer, and Gomer's unfaithful. God has a relationship with his people, they're being unfaithful. But I think one of the first things is if you see the trait of unthankfulness, if you see the trait of not having gratitude, I think it will not be long till that person is not faithful. This offense applies to New Testament Christians today. If you find a Christian who is not thankful for what God has done, is not appreciative of what Jesus has done, slowly but surely they will become unfaithful. We see it with Gomer. As Gomer is unthankful and unappreciative, he becomes unfaithful. As Israel, God's people, his nation, as they are unappreciative and unthankful, they become unfaithful. And we today, I think we follow that same rule. Is if we are not thankful, if we are not appreciative of what God has done, we will be unfaithful. Let's look at some snapshots of Hosea and Gomer's relationship. If you look at chapter 2 and verse 2, we see this. It says, bring charges against your mother. Bring charges, for she is not my wife, nor am I her husband. Let her put away her harlotry from her sight, and her adultery from between her breasts. We really have a vivid picture here of really we have this spouse that is being unfaithful. This spouse that has run off and cheated time and time again. We have the idea of a prostitute. We have the idea of cheating. We have the idea of really an intimate setting. It says, and her adultery from between her breasts. The accusation is clear. Gomer is not being faithful to me. And it breaks my heart. And God feels this exact same way when his people are unfaithful. We have a case of physical idolatry, but you know what? When we cheat on the Lord spiritually, it is spiritual idolatry. Are you cheating on the Lord? And in James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Who are you in a relationship with? Gomer is supposed to be in a relationship with Hosea, but she's not being faithful. The Israelites are supposed to be faithful to God, but they're being unfaithful. We, as New Testament Christians, are to be faithful to God. But if we are friends with the world, if we are buddy-buddy with the world, really what we're doing is we say, well, God, I kind of want to come home to you, but I want to go out and sleep with the world all the time. And see, this would apply in a physical relationship, and I don't know why many people in our day and age think that they can get by with this spiritually. Is that many of us having a physical relationship with our spouse would not be okay with saying, well, I'm going to come home to you, but I'm going to go out every night, every evening, I'm going to go out all week, actually, and I'll show up on Sunday again. You know, I'll go out Monday, and I'm going to party, and I'm going to be with all these other women. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm going to just live it up, be with everybody else. I'm going to be with the world, live worldly, and I'm going to come back to you on Sunday. That would not fly in our physical relationships, and I don't know why people think that it will fly with God. And really, somebody that falls into that trap, really, I think that they have actually already passed stage one. If they are not truly thankful for what God has done, they're not really appreciative for what God has done, because if they were, it would shift their conduct. It would shift their actions in their lives. Certainly, we see this idea of unfaithfulness. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, for their mother has played the harlot. She has conceived them and has behaved shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread, my water, my wool, and my linen, my oil, and my drink. to Gomer, she's saying, you know what, Hosea, he's not really taking care of me that well, but all my lovers are taking care of me. Now, what's interesting is later on in the text, Hosea says that actually I am taking care of her, even as she goes out and feeds. She's saying, oh, I'm not getting anything from Hosea. He's not blessing me at all. He's not doing anything for me. I'm not thankful. I'm not appreciative. I'm going to go to my lovers, and they're really going to be taking care of me. And really, they're not. And you know what? The same thing was happening with Israel. They were running off to these false gods and saying, we have all these great victories because of these false gods. We're being taken care of because of these false gods. And God's like, I've been taking care of you this whole time. Why, you've been unfaithful. Why, you have not been doing those things that you should be doing in the covenant, as you should. I have been faithful to you. But I think when we're not thankful, when we're not appreciative, it really leads to unfaithfulness. I think many people are walking away from Christianity today. Many people are walking away from the Lord because they're really not as thankful as they should be. They're really not as appreciative as they should be for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and everything that He has done for us. People are walking away because they're not thankful many times, because they're not appreciative, and they can't see what God's done for them. It's kind of similar to Gomer. She says, you're not doing much for me, Hosea. Hosea is doing everything for her, but she won't see it. You know, there are many people in this life that don't acknowledge that God is the creator of all things, that life, God gives us life, breath, and all things. Acts chapter 17, verse 25, they don't acknowledge it. Oh, yeah, there's people out there that say there's a God, but they won't really acknowledge God with their thanks and their appreciation, which would dictate their actions and their faithfulness. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It says, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. Now that is an interesting phrasing. It says, although they knew God, they did not honor Him or give thanks to Him. Oh yeah, there's people around there, around the world that say, oh yeah, there's a God. But they're not really honoring God. They're not really respecting God. They're not giving God thanks. And you know what? That's a great fact. It's a trap that will tear down any relationship. Is if your relationship, Hosea Gomer, if it loses thankfulness, it will fall apart. I believe that. God's relationship with His people, when there wasn't thanks, when there wasn't appreciation, the relationship fell apart. New Testament Christians today, when there's not thankfulness and appreciation, the relationship falls apart. Is your relationship falling apart with the Lord because you are unthankful, because you are ungrateful? You know, I really think that this is a problem with humans in general. I think we are prone to be complainers, and I think we're prone to be unthankful. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. In Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, if you read that, we have this account of some lepers. And these lepers come to the Lord, and they ask the Lord, will you heal us? Will you heal us? And God heals them. And you know how many return back to say thanks? Just one. Would you come back to thank the Lord if He healed you of a physical disease? Would you come back to thank the Lord if He healed you of a spiritual disease? And that's what we're talking about with Christians. We have been healed with something far worse than leprosy. But how many come back to give thanks to God? When you lose thankfulness, you lose faithfulness. We see it in Hosea and Gomer's relationship. We see it with Israel, of the Israelites, and God. And we see it with Christians today, is that when we lose perspective on what God has done for us, when we're not thankful, when we're not appreciative, when we don't keep those things in mind, which God has done for us, slowly but surely, we become unfaithful. Wouldn't we say that those nine people that did not return, they weren't really faithful in some respect? There was one person that returned. One person that was thankful, and that thankfulness dictated and changed their actions. What happened with the other nine? In fact, that is the question that's asked in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Where are they? Where are they? That's a powerful question. Where are they? They forgot to be thankful. They forgot to be appreciative. They forgot to be grateful for what God has done. You know, what's the opposite of thankfulness? You know, perhaps you could come up with different opposites. I mean, being unthankful, ungrateful. You know something I think is very closely related to that? Unthankful, ungrateful, complaining. You know, people that complain. Are they people that complain all the time? Many times they are not thankful people. That doesn't mean we can't be realistic and we can't discuss issues that are important, that need to be discussed. But, you do think about that. Thankful, unthankful. Grateful, ungrateful. People that are ungrateful and unthankful, a lot of times they're very complaining. And I don't think we have to go too far in the Bible to find such examples. I think of the Israelites when they come out of Egypt. See, the Israelites had a long track record of being a complaining, unthankful, ungrateful people in many respects. They get out of Egypt, they get out of slavery, they're free. They're free. And you know what? They get out of Egypt and they are complaining every step of the way. Complaining, complaining, complaining. Well, why are they complaining? Because they're not really thankful. Because they're not really appreciative. Because they're not really grateful for what God has done. It's like they can't see the blessings that are right in front of their face. They can't see that they have been freed from slavery. That God is giving them their needs as they travel. God is blessing them with water as they need it, blessing them with food as they need it. But time and time again, we see they're unthankful, ungrateful, unappreciative, and they're complaining every step of the way. And I think it wears down Moses. It wears him down. I really do. I think it takes a fight of a Christian, a servant of God, to be a thankful people. To be a grateful people. I think it takes effort. I think it takes consideration. I think it takes time to work on our mind, because I think the default almost is complain, unthankful, ungrateful. And really, we're trying to be a thankful people, a grateful people, a people that is not complaining as the Israelites did. And the Bible warns about the danger of complaining like the Israelites. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, I think it kind of gives us this idea. Be careful, because there have been a complaining people before. There have been an unthankful people before. There's been an ungrateful people before. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, I think it just gives us the idea of be careful. You've got an example of what complaining and ungratefulness and unappreciative and all that, you have examples of that in the Old Testament. You know those people that were ungrateful, unthankful, and complaining? They didn't get to go into the promised land. They did not get to go into the promised land. I think God tries to remind us in so many ways to be thankful. I actually think that our worship is designed to try to put us in the right mindset. When we sing, I think it tries to focus on things that we're supposed to be thankful for. When we pray, it's trying to focus our minds then on things that we're supposed to be thankful for. When we partake of communion, it's trying to focus our minds on things to be thankful for, grateful for, appreciative of. I think God has really tried to say, please do these things. Not necessarily because I need them so much, because you need them. Because if you're not praying, if you're not singing, if you're not partaking of communion, you know what you're going to do? You're going to forget to be thankful. You're going to forget to be appreciative. You're going to take things for granted. We need to partake of communion on the first day of the week. You know, I know sometimes people come up with crazy arguments. They say, well, it'll lose its significance. I don't know about you. I need that weekly check-in. I need that weekly check-in to remember what Jesus has done for me. To remember that sacrifice. To remember the whip, the insults. To remember those things. Him being that sacrifice for my sins. I need to remember that, because if I forget that, I probably won't be thankful. I probably won't be grateful. I probably won't be appreciative the way that I should be. And that will lead to unfaithfulness. Just as Gomer was not thankful, led to unfaithfulness. God's people were not thankful, led to unfaithfulness. I believe the same thing can happen to us. If you look at Hosea chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, he will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, he will seek them, but he will not find them. Then she will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better for me than now. See, Gomer's saying, you know what? Hosea, you're not doing anything for me. I'm going to run off and I'm going to get all my blessings over here. People do that in the religious world sometimes. They say, I'm going to run away from Christianity. I'm going to run away from God. I'm going to run away from the church. I'm going to get all my blessings over here. And then they realize, you know what? The world's not really giving me anything. It's not giving me anything eternal. It's not going to give you anything worthwhile in many respects. See, a lot of people want security, but they also want sin. They want to attend services and have security and think that when they die, they'll go to heaven, but then they want to sin all week long. It's almost like a physical relationship. Well, Sarah, I like the security of being able to come home to you and the relationship we have. But you know what? Throughout the week, I'm just going to run and sin and sleep around and do all these things. But I want to be able to come home to you. Well, it doesn't quite work that way, does it? So people try to handle their spiritual situation like that. If I'm going to have the security of this relationship with God, but I'm going to run out and have a relationship with the world and cheat on God every chance I get. It just doesn't work that way. I think we understand that. And Hosea is trying to get that across to the people and say, you're not in a good situation when you cheat on God. Again and again and again. And you're looking for something that you're not going to be able to find. Gomer's like, I'm going to find this in the world. You're not going to find it. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Number one, I think about unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness is connected to unthankfulness. Being unappreciative and not being grateful. I've thought about this a lot. How do you teach people to be grateful? How do you teach people to be grateful? You know, my dad's got different theories. One of the theories is kind of like the four generations, which I think we kind of see this in the Bible play out a little bit, is that if you have a prosperous generation, once you get to four generations after prosperity, these people just fall apart. Because they are not grateful, they're not appreciative. So for example, my grandparents, they had absolutely nothing. I'd say that my dad was kind of the first, I wouldn't say prosperous, but I mean, you could say middle class. Okay? I got to see how hard my dad worked. I got to see my dad work two jobs to put himself through school and support his family. He was a logger, and he did all kinds of other stuff. In fact, to rattle off the list of jobs that my dad had done would just be, you'd just be like, whoa, he's done that. Yeah, my dad's done all that. I got to see that. I think I'm doing pretty well for myself. I hope that I'll be able to teach my kids well. But once my kids have kids, and we have so many generations of prosperity, you know what? There tends to be this ungrateful, unthankful attitude. How do you teach people to be grateful? And I don't know. I've thought about this a long time. I think there are two things. When have you been most grateful in your life? Number one, when you've been given something that you've never had. The first time you had a child is something you never had in your life. You're typically more grateful than you've ever been. Something that you've never had before and you did it, you're typically extremely grateful. Number two, when something gets taken away. You've had it for a long time and then it gets taken away. You know what? That's what Hosea is about to do to Gomer. If you look at chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, Hosea has supported Gomer as she is treated time and time again, and she is not thankful. She is not thankful in acknowledging anything that Hosea has done. And Hosea, once we get down to verse 8, we almost get to this point and this idea at verses 8 through 13 that Hosea says, I am going to pull back my blessings now. I have blessed you as you have cheated on me again and again and again. I will pull my blessings back and see if that will remind you of what you should really be thankful for. And you know what? This is kind of what God does with the Israelites. If God has blessed them with the land, they have been prosperous, they have been rich, they have had all these blessings, and then God says, you know what, I'm going to remove my protection, I'm going to remove many of those physical blessings, and you know what happens? Assyria comes in, takes them away, and many of those people, once things have been taken away, now they're thankful. They say, we just wish we could go back to the way it was. We wish we could go back to our home. We wish we wouldn't have to be slaves. You know, those are hard lessons. And maybe there's another way to teach gratefulness. I think an example is certainly powerful. So think about that. Something that you acquire that you never had before, you are extremely grateful. When something is taken away that you've had, those are the times that I have found in my life to be most grateful. I've got a question for you. What does God have to take away from you for you to be thankful? What does God have to take away from you for you to be thankful? We say, Ty, I don't really want to go that route. You know what? Neither do I, so we better be thankful in the moment. But what would God have to take away from you to be thankful? Or, let's go to the other side. What would God have to give you to be thankful? See, that side of the equation is far more easy. Because when we start to think about it, what has God given us? Life, breath, all things? He's given us all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. What more could God give to make you thankful? What more could he give? He's given you life, breath, all things. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. What more could he give for you to be thankful? And if you can't answer that question, then what would God have to take away for you to be thankful? I think the lesson is we have to learn to be thankful and content with the things that we have. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Sometimes we struggle with thankfulness because I don't think we put the effort in. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it talks about things that a Christian should think about. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, and what I find is many times Christians fall into the trap of thinking of the exact opposite of what's talked about in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Now you can read through there, starting at verse 8 and go down through, and it talks about all these things that are pure, things that are noble, things that are in good report. These are things you should meditate on. These are things you should think about. But many times, Christians think about the exact opposite. Think about those things that are pure. We want to think about the impure all the time. Think about those things that are good. We want to think about those things that are evil all the time. Now, I understand there's a balance to life, but if you are going down a depressing, you're going down this depressing spiral, focus on things that are good. Don't focus on the things that are bad. Focus on the things that are good. I've told this story before. There was a marriage that was really struggling, and I think the counselor decided to separate the wife and the husband and do some counseling with them separately. And he talked with the husband, and he said, all I want you to do is to pick out one thing that you're thankful for about your wife a day. He said, I don't want you to tell her about this. I just want you to think about it. And he said, I'd like you to write it down. He started doing that, and his marriage turned around in a month. Because every day he thought of something he was thankful for, and he wrote it down. Didn't tell his wife about it, he just wrote it down. After a year, he ended up giving that notebook to his wife. His wife wrote down time. But see, I think sometimes in our relationships, we focus on what's bad, and maybe our spouse says something negative, and then we say something negative, and then I say something negative, they say something negative, and then you go down, and you just tear each other down. And really, we're supposed to build each other up. I'm thankful for this. Well, you know what? I'm not thankful you do this. I'm thankful you do this. Okay. We're supposed to build each other up, not tear each other down. But see, what happens many times is we focus on the negative so much, it tears everything down around us. It's hard to be thankful when you're looking at all the bad stuff of the world and you're not looking at the good stuff of the world. And that is something that I think needs to happen. Look at the good. Look at the good that's in the world. It'll build your relationships up and not tear them down. But what does God have to take away? But what does God have to give you to be thankful? What does God have to give me to be thankful? He's given you everything. All spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, life, breath, and all things, there's nothing more God can give. If you can't be thankful for that, then you have to go to the other side of the coin. What would God have to take away for you to be thankful? And unfortunately, some people have to go that direction. It's called rock bottom. It's rock bottom. And they start to say, you know what, I wish I could go back. And you know what? The great blessing of our God is that we have life, we can go back. We can make the choice to return to God, and we can come back. But a lot of that is acknowledging what we're thankful for. Are you thankful for what God has blessed you with? In Psalm 103 and verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Have you forgot God's benefits? We have Hosea and Gomer. I think Gomer is unfaithful because she's not thankful. And she ends up basically on a slave block. And in chapter 3, we see that there's going to be this buying back that takes place. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It says, then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel. You look to other gods and love their raisin cakes of the pagans. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be towards you. Are you thankful for what God has done? You know, when you realize that really we are Gomer in this picture, either the first time you became a New Testament Christian or an unfaithful Christian that is now coming back home, you understand that you're Gomer in the story. You have cheated on God. You have cheated on God. You have committed sin. And God has enough mercy, grace, and forgiveness, and love to buy you back. You know what? That's what he did for us. Is that he died on the cross to pay our fine so that we could become New Testament Christians. Are you thankful for what God has done? In Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us up with benefits, the God of our salvation." It says God daily loads us up with benefits. Do you count your blessings? Do you count them one by one? Are you thankful for what God has done? Because if you're thankful for what God has done, I believe you'll be faithful. If you forget those blessings, I think you will be unfaithful, just as Gomer was, just as the Israelites were, and just as many Christians are. When we become unthankful, we become unfaithful. The Lord loads us up with benefits. If you tried to count them when you went home tonight, you would spend a long time, wouldn't you? Life, breath, all things, family, food, our physical blessings, and also our spiritual blessings. It would take a long time to count all our blessings. If you can keep those blessings at the forefront of your mind, I think you'll be in a better place. And I think you'll serve the Lord better. Can you keep God's sacrifice at the front of your mind? Because it teaches you to live a better life. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." See, the grace of God should teach us something. It should teach us to live a better life. God giving us a second chance should teach us to live a better life. Being thankful for what God has done should teach us to live a better life. A lot of people struggle in Christianity because they can't see the blessings. The question is can you see the blessings of God? Can you be thankful? If you can be thankful, I think you can be faithful. Perhaps this evening you need to pray for church. Perhaps this evening you need to become a New Testament Christian. I think in the book of Acts we see the pattern of individuals hearing the word, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need to pray for church. We'd love to help you in any way we can. If you come, as we stand, as we sing.